Before we get going, here's the bit where I remind you that nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So, while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets. And now, on with the show. What you're about to hear is a special preview of the most recent episode of The Narrative Game, as Ben Hunt and I dig into the various narratives being crafted around the ongoing attack on Wall Street by retail investors. I'm using quotation marks around that phrase for reasons which will become apparent as you listen to the discussion. Every episode of the Grant Williams podcast, including The Endgame, The Super Terrific Happy Hour, and The Narrative Game, is available to copper and silver tier subscribers at my website, grant-williams.com. Copper tier subscribers get access to all the podcasts, while members of the silver tier get both the podcasts and my monthly newsletter, Things That Make You Go Hmm, which this month focused on GameStop, Wall Street bets, and a big battle for power, which hardly anybody seems to have noticed. So, if you enjoy what you hear on the show and you want more high-quality content like it, please make your way over to grant-williams.com and join our exciting community today. And with that, on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Narrative Game with my dear friend, Dr. Ben Hunt. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, great, Grant. It's good to be back. Good to be back with you.
Yes, it's been a while. There's just so much to talk about. But first, I have to check in on the farm. How's life up there?
Well, we're covered in snow. It's been such a snowy winter, at least a snowy February for sure. So I can't remember a year where we've had so many, you know, days where the weather forecast was, there might be some precipitation, and then you've got 4 or 5 inches sitting out there.
Yeah, it's been a bit like that. Well, I mean, talk about snow falling. We've seen a lot of that in markets in recent weeks. And the thing that really, after many aborted attempts to get the two of us to go and chat, was your Hunger Games piece recently, which I thought was one of the best things you've ever written.
Oh, thank you, Grant.
That is a high bar to clear. Now, for those people that haven't read it, and absolutely everybody should, you'll find it on EpsilonTheory.com. The Hunger Games was really your take on the Wall Street bets, the Reddit, the Citadels, the Robin Hood. And so I thought this week we could perhaps unpack that, because I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think the main thrust of your piece was exactly what I thought as I was watching it, that the narrative around this whole story is nowhere close to what it is being purported to be.
Right. Right.
And so what I'd love to do is to get you to kind of run through your Hunger Games thesis for people, and then we'll kind of pick it apart, because it sent my brain in so many different directions, and so I'd love to kind of get a chance for you and I to do that live for people.
Sure. Well, I think the main takeaway for me from all of this, right, that you're describing, both the events leading up to the surge in GameStop and other similarly situated companies, let's say, the run-up, the changing of the rules overnight as far as what stocks you were allowed to buy, and then the collapse in prices subsequently, the hearings we saw in Congress the other week, all of that. My take is this. My take is that in one very specific, let's call it the local way, what actually happened on the ground and in markets, nothing changed. This is Wall Street, right? This is what Wall Street has always been. My view is what it'll always be. In another sense, though, Grant, I think a lot changed. Maybe not in the way people think. This whole notion of, this is democratizing Wall Street, pure hokum, right? It's just another story to mobilize the marks, right? But in another sense, what we all saw taking place in public was the fact that the rules change in the middle of the game. What we all saw in public was, stock prices don't go up or down depending on what the company does. You know, we're not making bets on a company. We're just making bets. And the bets themselves are what Wall Street is. And I really think, I hope, frankly, that those two very public observations, as I like to say, you know, in terms of common knowledge, what we all saw that we all saw, right? It wasn't just that, oh yeah, we observed something. It's the very public nature of this, where it's all out in the open. The changing of the rules, the fact that stock prices don't depend on any sort of fundamentals. I think that has the potential, at least, for changing a lot about how we, the people, think about Wall Street and how we interact with Wall Street. That's my hope anyway.
Well, let's pick that apart, because I think that the first part is this idea of it being a casino rather than a stock exchange, because mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And I think anyone that really has been inside financial markets for the last 20 years has seen that mentality take a stronger and stronger grip.
Exactly right.
I mean, it did used to be about fundamentals. It did used to be about owning a share in future cash flows,
yep,
and owning a stake in a company. But then we got onto this, you know, beat the number business, the one penny beats every quarter. And, you know, you're gambling. Are they going to beat by a penny? Are they going to miss by a penny? And of course, in the long term, does it really matter? Of course it doesn't. But the stock prices gyrate on the back of that, and that's where the money is made. And I think central to your Hunger Games piece was the piece in the middle that you didn't mention there, which is who makes the money and how mm-hmm. they make the money. Because mm-hmm. I think that, again, to anyone that's been inside the belly of the beast, I think we all know this, and many of us have been shouting about this for a long, long time. But I think you're right. I think it became very obvious to people who were paying attention and who are prepared to think about what they saw. And this is the bit I want to talk about, because I think this is the important part.
Okay.
It's not necessarily that obvious simply because the narrative around it continues to be perpetuated. You know, I'm still reading articles about how Main Street stuck it to Wall Street.
Oh yeah.
Right. I'm still reading them. And that is absolutely not what happened. So let's break down the players. Let's talk about the Melvin Capitals. Let's use them as a bucket for short sellers, not the short sellers per se, but the people who were short the stock. Let's talk about the market makers, and let's talk about the retail crowd. Now, how would you describe the narrative that those three people under which those three groups operate?
So I'm going to use a, I'll call it kind of gambling analogies throughout this, Grant, and I think it'll be particularly familiar.
Seems apropos.
It does. And actually, let me just talk about that whole casino aspect of markets first, because I think that is the big issue that we're all wrestling with here. So, as you say, you know, why do we have public stock markets in the first place? Why do we have public companies? They exist for two reasons, and two reasons only. Their primary reason is as a transmission belt, as a way of getting private capital, your money, my money, into the hands of management teams that can use that capital for more productive efforts than you or I can. And then we will share in their productive investment of this capital through our fractional ownership share of their cash flows and of the company they have, right? So that's why we have stock markets. That's right. That's why we issue stock, right? That's what it's for. It is that transmission belt from private capital to the hands of these managers of companies. That's reason number one. Reason number two is, you know, what we call price discovery, right? So that there is a market, there is liquidity for buying and selling those fractional ownership shares in those companies that have taken private capital to put to more productive ends. Some degree of casino-ness is necessary once you establish a market like that. I'm not saying at all, no one is saying that we should have no speculation or trading or casino aspects of markets. What we are saying, what I'm saying certainly, is that can't be all it is, yeah. right? But that's where we are today, where the casino aspects of this, that's all there is, man. That's all there is. And I'm going to bring that back to the, I'll call it the players sitting around this poker table that you're describing. And let's start with I'll call it the hedge funds, the Melvin Capital. I should say we'll use them as kind of the representative of this class action suit that we're describing here, right? And
right.
The way that the game is now played with short selling, and this is very different from the way the game has been played in the past, even as, you know, sort of, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I mean, I used to run a decent sized short book, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars where we would be short different things in the market. And I've been short GameStop in the past. GameStop was a wonderful short for me. But the way that you would short GameStop was, all right, stock's trading at what, $55, something like that. I know what the catalysts are. I know how to think about it. They have a bad earnings report. Stock goes down 10%. Great. I got paid. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm out. Because that's how shorts work. They work in this punctuated fashion when something goes wrong and your negative view on the company is revealed to the world. It works. That's how your bets.
The full conversation is available to subscribers to the copper and silver tiers of my website, grant-williams.com. Nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So, while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets.